Here, my name is Brennan. It's really nice to see everyone's faces. I thought I was going to show up this morning and there's just going to be Audrey sitting there, so there's going to be no problem. But now you guys got a bunch of people here, so you know this is good. I'll have everyone open up their Bibles. We'll go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9 will be our starting verse for this study this morning. You know, we're going to pull up this verse later, but I'd like to just have it be there as the kind of the head start for today's lesson. So once everyone's there, we can get started, but I'll go ahead and I'll read the verse for us. So Ephesians 3:9 says, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." First thing I want to talk about is the mystery right there. I mean, we look in that verse, and right after the mystery, it says, it started from the beginning of the world and hath been hid in God. The hidden God part is the part that I think, at least myself, when I was learning this study, for me, it was big. I mean, it really hits home at making sure that we're looking at the verse correctly. And that this is something that God hid in himself, and it wasn't spoken by the mouth of the holy prophets. And we'll get into that in just a second. I'll have everyone open up. We're going to go talk about rightly dividing the mystery versus the prophecy. I'll have Acts chapter 3 in one hand and Romans 16 in the other. Okay, Acts chapter 3, we're going to look at verse 20 and 21. Acts chapter 3, verse 20 says, "And he shall send Jesus Christ, which was before preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until all times of restitution of all things which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." So right there in the verse, what the Bible says is God has spoken about Jesus Christ through his holy prophets. And that's what we're going to talk about is the prophecy. And the next thing I want to have us look at is Romans 16. So if you guys are there, Romans 16, verse 25, it says, this is Paul speaking. "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began." So if we look at those two verses side by side, one of them says in Acts chapter 3, verse 21, it says, God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. And Paul says, it says, which was kept secret since the world began. So if we think with just our heads and use logic, those two things can't mean the same thing. So Paul is preaching a different gospel than Jesus preached. Jesus was sent to the Jews, Paul was sent to the Gentiles. So if we continue to study this out, you'll see that the two distinct Gospels, they're basically two parts of God's plan to reconcile all things. One of the plans pertains to heaven, and the other plan pertains to the earth. This division is one of the biggest divisions in the Bible, next to the division of heaven and earth. And there is a distinction in these divisions, but they are related. I don't know about you guys, but this kind of blew my mind when I first learned this. I thought this was pretty great. I grew up learning that everyone in the Old Testament was looking forward to the cross, and everyone in the New Testament was looking back to the cross. It turns out that, I thought they were the same gospel. You know, and I think a lot of other people are kind of taught that being brought up in today's world. There's just a lot of confusion in that area. But that isn't what the Bible says. And unfortunately, that's just a bunch of religious rhetoric that just goes around and confuses a lot of saints today. So we're going to go over really two main topics today. That was just kind of getting us started off. That way we can see the distinction between the divisions. The first thing I want to talk about is the verses that have to deal with being spoken since the world began. So Jesus' earthly ministry was prophesied, and we can see that in Luke. So we go to Luke 1. We'll look at Luke 1, verses 67 through 80. These are some earthly promises, and this is that Jesus' ministry was pre-prophesied. So Luke chapter 1. We'll start at verse 67. And his father Zechariah, so this is talking about John the Baptist's dad, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in this house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies, and from the hand of all that hate us." So being saved from our enemies, this is talking about Israel's enemies. They had physical enemies at the time. This is not spiritual. To perform mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abram, that he would grant unto us, that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him, all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed and shrunk in spirit, and was in deserts till the day of showing unto Israel. And so till the day of his showing is obviously, as we know, as we continue to study this out, it's talking about Jesus. And so that's Jesus being prophesied. So we're going to start by going over all the prophetic scriptures, and then we'll get into the mystery in the second half of today's study. So there's some cross references that I believe we can look at. One is through Matthew 15. So how about we turn over there, Matthew 15. We're going to start at verse 21. It says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." So I wanted to talk about the Gentiles there. I apologize. I probably confused the heck out of everyone when you go into that verse. But the Gentiles in times past, under prophecy, under the prophetic timeline, Jesus came to the Jews only. And so we see through those verses right there, Matthew 15, 21 through 28, we see that Jesus says he's not sent unto Israel only, right? And then when a Canaanite woman, which is Canaan is another land, it's not where Israel is, she came and he said, right to her, it is not me. Take the children's bread and cast it to dog. I mean, if we think of that in today's language, it's basically saying, well, I'm not going to give you bread because you're not the little kid, you're not my children, you're not my child, you're just the dog, you know. So, and just because of her faith and being blessed through Israel, her daughter was able to get back from the devil. So we see that there's a little bit of differences between the way that Gentiles were treated in times past, and I just wanted to kind of open that up for everyone to see. Some other cross references that we can look at is Ephesians 2, 11 and 12. This has to do with what we're talking about right now. So Flip over there, Ephesians 2. So this is Paul speaking. He says, "Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world." So if we just take that verse for what it says, I mean, it says right there that us Gentiles, us that are not part of the Jewish lineage or the bloodlines of the 12 tribes, we have no hope and we are without God in the world. And so that's what that woman was that we just read in Matthew 15. She had no hope, she was without God. She was an alien from the covenants of promise. But because of her faith, Jesus decided to accept that. And through Israel, she was blessed because Jesus was a Jew. So I just thought that's a pretty cool thing just to kind of open things up. That was my first and second point right there. I want to look at Jesus' ministry to the Jews only. We can, if you guys want to go study that further, there's some cross-references. If you guys are taking notes, you can write these down. Matthew 10, verse 1 through 7, and Leviticus 20, verse 23 through 25. But I want to look at Jesus' earthly ministry confirmed the law. That's my next point here. And this all has to do with being spoken since the world began, in case anyone forgot. So we'll go to Matthew 5. Matthew 5. We'll start at verse 17. Matthew 5, verse 17, the Bible says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." So right there we can see in times past, during Jesus' ministry here on earth, that he was coming to confirm the law. It's a little bit different from today, as we know. We'll get into that study in just a second. But I just thought it's something that we need to look at if we're understanding the differences between prophecy and mystery. And so we'll look at some cross-references. Go to Luke 2 and Galatians 4 on the other hand. Luke 2, verse 22, says, "And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves, or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see the death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And this, he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law." So right there we see in Luke 22, verse through 27, that Jesus was born under the law. So God sent his son to the earth to fulfill all the promises that he made with Abraham in the covenants. And we see that Jesus, in order to fulfill them, he had to confirm the law, not just get rid of it. So next point, get over with Galatians 4:4. In the other hand, hope you guys had that there, because I didn't, so just give me one second. Galatians 4:4 says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law." So as we see in those three or four different spots that we just looked at. Those are all just cross-references with verses that are confirming the same thing. Again, we want to let Scripture interpret Scripture itself, because that's the best way to study the Word of God. Okay, so Jesus' earthly ministry confirmed the commandments. We can look at that as well in Mark 1. We'll go ahead and go over there. And if you guys are wondering why we're doing a lot of flipping, it's because I will let the Word of God speak rather than me doing all the talking myself. I don't have much to say, but the Word of God has the authority. So I'd rather let that teach us this morning. All right. Everyone at Mark 1, we'll go to verse 44. And saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony. And so this is Jesus talking to a man, and in order for that man to get sanctified or cleaned, he had to go and do the things under the commandments, under the Torah, or the Mosaic law, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, we see that during Jesus' earthly ministry, he was confirming the commandments. He was, confirming the law. We see that his earthly ministry was prophesied here on the earth by John the Baptist. So we'll see between the prophetic program and the mystery program, there's differences between earthly promises and heavenly promises and who's promised what. We're seeing right now all the prophetic timeline. Everything here is prophesied to earthly things. There's not any heavenly promises that are being made right now. Everything has to do with the earth. So we can look at the next thing, which kind of ties into what I just said, which is Jesus' earthly ministry was offering God's kingdom on earth. Go to Matthew 4, verse 17, and Matthew 8 in the other hand. And if you got a third finger, 2 Chronicles 2. Matthew 4, verse 17 says, From that time Jesus began to preach, to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay? So why did he say that? Why did he say the kingdom of heaven is at hand? We were just talking about all these earthly things. Well, at this time, we look and we see that God was willing to offer his heavenly kingdom to Israel right then and there. All they had to do was repent. Go to Matthew 8. Verse 11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? So that's another cross-reference to God, which is in heaven, willing to give Israel these gifts, these heavenly gifts. But at that time, they weren't willing to repent. And so we see, if we go into, and we study this out, Acts chapter 7, the stoning of Stephen was pretty much the last straw for Israel when they had the chance to repent, and they chose not to. So, 2 Chronicles. Boy, that's Old Testament, isn't it? Give me a moment. Second Chronicles 2, we'll look at verse 12. Haram said, Moreover, blessed be the Lord of God of Israel, that made heaven and earth, who hath given to David the king a wise son, endued with a prudence and understanding, that might build a house for the Lord and house for his kingdom. So right there it says, David would build a house for the Lord and a house for his kingdom. He's talking about a house or a kingdom here on earth. And so that's kind of getting back to our point, which is everything earth related has to do with the Jews. or Israel, whatever you want to call it. So Jesus' future earthly ministry is still to the Jews. Everyone that is wondering his future earthly ministry. Right now we're in the dispensation of the grace of God, and that is in Ephesians 3. We'll take a look at that here shortly. But God put pause on time, and the 70th week of Daniel has not yet come. But when that comes, his future earthly ministry will be here, and it will deal with Israel, or the Jews. And so, go to Hebrews 8, look at verse 10. And so, we'll be talking about a covenant in these couple of next verses. This covenant is already made. God wrote it in His Word. So when God writes something or He says something, He has to follow through with it. We know that. I believe it's in Titus or Timothy or somewhere where it says God cannot lie. And so we all know that. But we'll look right here that this covenant that God made with Israel in the times ahead, we'll see that He's confirming a covenant. So go to verse 10. Hebrews 8, verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins, and their iniquities will I remember no more. So that's God confirming, a covenant to have in the future with Israel. And so that's going to kind of wrap up everything with talking about since the world began. And the prophecy side of things, I just wanted everyone to kind of see that. There's a lot more verses that we can study, but we don't have enough time for that today. So I tried to give you some cross-references, and afterwards, if you guys want more, I can show you all my notes here. We got 2 or 3 pages, a lot of notes. My handwriting is kind of like chicken scratch, so I don't know about y'all. All right. We'll talk about the secret since the world began. So, kind of the first point I want to talk about today, guys, is just the difference between Paul's gospel and the gospel that was preached since the world began. So, Paul was given a mystery, a mystery gospel. And that's why we started in Ephesians 3, verse 9. We see that the mystery had been hidden in God. It's different. It wasn't spoken about like all these holy prophets had spake. About Jesus' coming, there wasn't even like a hint of it. There's no way that anybody could have been a detective and looked through the scriptures. And we'll see this in these next couple of verses. We're going to see the difference between what's searchable and what's unsearchable. So let's go to, I just want to talk about the differences between Jesus and Paul's gospel real quick. So go to John 5 in one hand and Ephesians 3, 8 in the other. John 5, we'll start at verse 39. And on the other hand, get Ephesians 3, verse 8. Alright, John 5, 39 says, Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Okay? Now let's take a look at Ephesians 3 and see what that has to say. It says, Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, again this is Paul speaking, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So side by side, one says to search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. This is Christ speaking. This is, if you guys have a red letter version, this is Jesus' speaking to his people. And Paul says, well, among the Gentiles, the unsearchable, or I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So they're both Christ being preached right here. Christ is saying, you know, search for me. You should see me in the scriptures. Paul's saying, I'm preaching Christ, but this stuff that he's teaching is unsearchable.
Right.
So the main difference is there is we're seeing that there's two different gospels being preached. And that's kind of the reason why I wanted to show everyone that. The mystery being kept secret. You can stay in Ephesians, go to Colossians 1 in your other hand. So Ephesians 3, verse 3, says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote for in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and the prophets by the Spirit. So we see right there that Paul is saying that this is a mystery that he has by his knowledge. This was not made known amongst men in other ages, so they couldn't ask anyone in times past. Nobody knew about this. And Colossians 1, verse 25 through 27, we'll see Paul speaking about him being a minister according to the dispensation of God. So verse 25 says, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. But anyways, so I just wanted everyone to see that. Oh, sorry, I read the wrong part, the last. So, the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I apologize. But we'll see right there in those two verses, the mystery was being kept a secret. Only Paul had known this knowledge. And we'll see as we continue to study that the mystery was revealed over time. It wasn't revealed all at once. And some cross-references to go with that. I think we'll have, is that Leviticus 29:29? I think that talks about something being a mystery, so. Or no, Deuteronomy, sorry, I apologize. Deuteronomy. I can't even read my own handwriting. I think the people who translated the Bible in 1611 couldn't translate my words here on Spanish into English. So. Alright. Let's get to Deuteronomy. Audrey, it's time for you to buy me some of those things that you got in here. Just a lot quicker, a lot easier to flip. There we go. Deuteronomy 29:29. Oh yeah, now I know what I wanted to talk about. Okay, so Deuteronomy 29:29, we see that mystery in a worldly view or worldly sense is one of those things that you don't know. Nobody knows. It's a mystery, right? We see right here in Deuteronomy 29:29 that mysteries in the Bible have a different definition. Mysteries can be made known once God chooses to reveal them to certain people. And so people that are wondering what Paul's mystery is, well, it's revealed, and we'll see the differences between the mystery program and the prophetic program. This is just kind of showing the definition of, biblically, what a mystery is. So it says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So that right there is just a little cross-reference. I thought it was kind of neat that way we can see the difference between the two. All right, we're talking about hidden God, not in the prophets. So Colossians 2, and then we'll go back to our starting verse, Ephesians 3:9. All right, Colossians 2, we'll start with verse 2. It says, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So right there we see that it's in verse 2, it's talking about the Father in Christ and the mystery of God. So those reason that it's in the same verse right there is because it's tying the Father and Christ as being one, and that all the treasures, all the wisdom and knowledge is hidden both the Father and the Son. It's just showing the oneness of the Godhead right there. And we'll go over to Ephesians 3:9. I like this verse. I think it's really simple. Like, so many people will try to put their own commentary or understanding to what this stuff has to say, and let's just read it. I mean, it'll tell us right what it's talking about. It says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. So there we go. We're seeing the mystery being hid, just as it was in Colossians 2, which is the knowledge and it's being hidden God, created all things by Jesus Christ. There it is, connecting the Father and the Son again in the same verse. So I love it. I mean, Scripture interpreting Scripture, this is the way that we got to be studying our Bibles. And I'm very thankful to be a part of a church that welcomes this, and not only welcomes it, but like, everyone does it. Like, it's a great thing. It's great to have brothers and sisters, saints in the church who are all of the same mind, of like-mindedness. And it's encouraging, I would say, more than it is anything else, because a little bit of my past is, you know, church hopping, and it's good to be at a place where I can see me being for the rest of my life. So thank you guys for being so wonderful all this time. But yeah, we'll keep going. Sorry, that was just a little break there. Just want to appreciate you guys. And this study, it really kind of opened my eyes up to really get into the Word and start doing all these cross references, and builds up your faith, builds up the belief. Okay, so we're going to see why everything was kept a secret, because I'm sure that was kind of a question going through everyone's head, wasn't it? No? I was thinking the same thing. All right, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we'll see why it was kept a secret. Because God decided to tell the adversary, Satan, his whole plan for how everything was going to unfold. And we see that time and time again, Satan tried to come up with a counterfeit, a copy, to try to do the same thing here on earth. And we see that there was one little trick God had, one little thing that he kept to himself, and we'll see why. So Satan already knew, guys. Satan knew that Jesus was going to die. Satan knew that Jesus was going to die on the cross. The one thing Satan didn't know was God's mystery program and saving the Gentiles or the whole world. Because right now, everyone can get saved, Jew and Gentile, and become one in the body of Christ. So we'll see. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's look at verse 7 and 8. It says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And so we see right there, it's talking about princes. So there wasn't any princes that crucified Jesus at that time. So princes has to deal with something else, and it's talking about princes or principalities, which we'll study that out, and we'll go to two different cross-reference points. Actually, Yeah, let's look at Ephesians 2. We'll just stay in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 2 and Ephesians 6. Go to those two. And we'll see what the princes or principalities is talking about. So, we'll start with Ephesians 2, verse 2. Where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So the prince of the power of the air, who is that? That is talking about Satan. Yeah, it's talking about the devil. So we study that out. We'll see the same thing in Ephesians 6, verse 12. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So for anyone that is not aware, the God of this world is Satan. I mean, God actually talks about that. God is the one who calls him a God, but a lowercase g God, not the uppercase G God. So Satan is the one who is in control of the kingdoms and the powers and the principalities, the governments, you know, everything. That's why we're seeing this world kind of getting crazy. I don't know about you guys. My mom, I love her to death, man. She is the sweetest thing. But she's just very fun to listen to. I mean, like, she's like one of those tinfoil hat wearing people at times. So they, yeah, she's like, you see how low the planes are flying today? They're like right here, you know? I'm like, okay. She's like, they're spraying stuff, you know? That's why I'm not feeling good. And, you know, it's one of those things where it's fun to be around. But at the same time, I don't know why I got into talking about tinfoil hats. But I mean, there's a lot of people that, you know, everyone will say, you're wearing a tinfoil hat, you're wearing a tinfoil hat, things are getting crazy. The world is blinded, guys. I mean, the world is just blind to things changing the way it's changing. The tolerance and the progressiveness of things. And I won't go too deep into them, but like, I mean, last month was June, and June is like my favorite month of the summer. Actually, July is pretty good too. But there's a Pride Month, and you know, all these people that are... Pride was like the sin that got the devil. Like, why are we celebrating Pride? Or why... And it has to deal with God's beautiful promise of a rainbow, you know, being sent to Noah, and now it's made into, like, homosexuality, which is just completely wrong. And you can't even procreate. You can't even make more children to love on the Lord. You just... There's so many things that I just am open up to now more than I ever was before getting older, and it's just like, well, dang, you know, I wonder what the good old days were like. You know, my best friend, his name is Ray. He lives up in Big Rapids area, and I met him at Vanderhead Ford in Cedar Springs where Eli and Miriam live, and we talk every day, and you know, he's telling
the car dealer.
Yeah. We met him right at the car dealer. Yep, Eli was—he almost pulled that trigger on the 250 for me. But no, I just—we're talking, and you know, he grew up. He turned 62 on Friday, so July 21st is his birthday. He turned 62 years old, and we talk every day, a couple times a day. He's just telling me about all these stories of just going drag racing and like just things like that. He told me the other day, okay, and maybe he won't be so proud of me telling this story, but I'll just say it anyways. I'll keep some of the details out of it. He was driving home and he was really tired, and cop pulled him over, and he knew the cop. He was a really good guy, and he says, Ray, what are you doing? Why are you driving? And you know, really tired, can't really focus that much. He's like, all right, get out. And it's just the type of relationship that people had with each other back then. There was more trust. There was more, like, just lovingness and willingness to help out your neighbor. And so the cop drove him home, carried him up the steps to his dad, knocked on the door, said, hey, here you are. Here's the keys. car's left out by the gas station, go pick it up next morning. You know, and just, I think that that's the type of thing we're missing, is just that neighborly love, friendly love that everyone kind of should share with one another, that the body of Christ really should accept and embrace, because that's something that we have a huge blessing. We're so blessed, guys. I mean, we're literally promised heaven. We're promised eternity, eternal life. We're going to get a new body. So let's get back into the study, and we'll talk about us getting a new body. We'll go to that in just a second. I'm going to continue kind of where we're at. So we were just talking about the principalities and stuff like that, and how that led into this world being run and the crazy things. But as we're talking about the secret since the world began, which is kind of part two, there is a A and B. This is the B side of things. So we'll see that this mystery was revealed to Paul from heaven. So we look at the prophecy and Jesus' ministry, the prophetic scriptures were revealed on earth to earth, right? You saw that Jesus was the one who revealed it to the Jews or Israel on earth. Well, it's actually kind of cool how we see this one is revealed from heaven to Paul. So, Acts chapter 9, please. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Saul is Paul, for anyone wondering, that's later revealed in Acts chapter 13. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling, so Paul is nervous, he is scared, and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. So Paul had witnesses to that encounter. There was a light that shined upon him. He was freaked out, astonished. He says, Who is this? Jesus. If you have a red letter version, this is Jesus talking to him, revealing the mystery to him. He tells him instructions on where to go. And so this mystery is a progressive mystery that was revealed to Paul. Okay? And we'll see that progressive revelation. Go to 2 Corinthians, chapter 12. 2 Corinthians, chapter 12. Verse 7. It says, And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. So that revelation is not singular, it's plural. It's talking about many that have happened over time. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So as we notice Paul speaking in Ephesians 3, we saw, and even in this verse, he's very humble. He's very, like, he gives a lot of the glory to God when he's talking. And we'll see that, you know, it's Paul who is the one that does the most work out of all the apostles. He's the one that ends up doing a lot, outworking them. We'll just call it like that. And we'll go to 1 Corinthians 15. That's going to kind of tie these two together. And verse 8. It says, And last of all, he was seen of me, also as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. So he's talking about all the apostles. He labored more. He outworked them all. But he's still giving all the glory to God, which is amazing. He says, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preached and so ye believed. I just thought that was a cool thing to see, you know, Paul being the one that ended up doing the most, even though he was a Pharisee. And Jesus chose him to reveal the mystery unto him. And what we see now today, there's a whole body of Christ, a whole set of believers that are going to get to experience eternal bliss with our Heavenly Father and our Savior. Let's see, we'll go to just kind of talking about that revelation still. It was revealed to the Apostle Paul. We'll go to Romans 2 and 2 Timothy 2. So Romans 2 and 2 Timothy 2. We got 10 minutes, so we're almost done. Romans 2, we'll look at verse 16. It says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So we started looking in the beginning, we looked at Acts 3 and Romans 16, right? Romans 16:25 is another verse where Paul mentions, you know, my gospel. And we'll only see this in three different spots. And go to 2 Timothy 2, where you guys are already at. Except me, I'm not there. Alright, then we'll look at verse 8. It says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. So guys, Paul is constantly mentioning, you know, his gospel, the revelation that was made that he had knowledge of. And this revelation that Paul was given is continuing. Like I just said it a million times, I'm trying to drill it in everyone's head here. This is the mystery program. This is the revelation by which we're saved from, is that mystery. And next we'll kind of go over the body of Christ a little bit. That was kind of the end of those cross-references with that whole road. Next point is I want to show everyone here that the body of Christ is bound for heaven. We're not going to get a kingdom here on earth such as Israel. So go to Ephesians 2 and stay in 2 Timothy, by the way. Stay in 2 Timothy. We'll look at 2. I have 3 verses down, but we'll just look at 2 for sake of time so we can get through this whole study today together. Alright. Ephesians 2, we'll look at verse 6. It says, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, right here this is talking about us believers today. We're being raised up, and we already have places in heaven. God's already, everyone that is here that's saved has been sealed. It's a promise. We have an earnest. I know Pastor Brian talked about that a couple weeks ago. In Ephesians 1:13, an earnest is a deposit. It's God's promise. It's his way of saying we are going to go to heaven once we believe in that death and burial and resurrection. And so, go over to 2 Timothy now, chapter 4, look at verse 18, it says, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So, guys, the mystery program, it started as a mystery from heaven, revealed from Christ from heaven, and it will end as a mystery from heaven. We're going to end up going there, and we're done. And got three or four more verses, and we'll be all done. So I want to go over us having a heavenly body, for we are promised that. So 2 Corinthians 5 and 1 Corinthians 15. Corinthians 15, verse 51, says, "Behold, I show you a mystery." So this is a mystery inside the mystery, kind of a cool thing. "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality." There we go. That is talking about our heavenly body being changed, being made incorruptible or immortal. Now we'll go to 2 Corinthians, verse 5. We'll look at verses 1 through 2. It says, "For we know that if our earthly house," that is referring to our earthly body of this tabernacle, "were dissolved, we have a building of God, and a house not made with hands." God not making our next body with hands, eternal in the heavens. So, I mean, we think today, I mean, nobody just makes a baby with their hands, obviously. You can't do that and put it in the oven and boop, there's a baby or nothing. You know, that's not how it works. At least that's not the oven we're, you know, going to use to do it. But, anyways, we'll go and talk about some of these heavenly rewards. So, 1 Corinthians 9, stay there, and 2 Timothy 4. Alright, 1 Corinthians 9, talking about some of our heavenly rewards, and verse 25. "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things." So I say, in every person that, you know, works hard in a certain craft, we'll get good at it, we'll gain that skill. "Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." So in heaven we will get an incorruptible crown, which is really cool. I can't wait. I won't take it, obviously. I'll throw it at Jesus' feet. I don't need that. I'm just saying, well, you know, in heaven, I'd be the janitor, and I'd be happy. You know, that'd be a cool gig, I think. 2 Timothy 4. And we'll look at 8, verse 8. "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." So, I don't know about you guys, but I can't wait for the Lord to come back. I love his appearing. I can't wait to be in heaven with Christ forever, so... I guess we get a crown for that, a crown of righteousness, which would be really cool. I hope everyone here is excited for that too. We can all have that same crown. And this next point, this is kind of to wrap everything up, is talking about there are no promises to the body of Christ regarding or pertaining to earth. I don't have any scriptures for that at all. But we'll see that there's a lack of scripture in that department, or in that area, when it talks about heavenly or earthly promises to the body of Christ. I mean, there's a lot of people today, I see it, you guys see it, I'm sure, the mega churches that are health, wealth, prosperity churches, constantly talking about, you know, you're going to be rich, the Lord is going to bless you. Like, that stuff, guys, I'd say just stay away from it. I've learned to stay away from it. It's really not healthy. It gets, like, false hope up. You start to get really sad. You start to think that God doesn't love you. It's, that's not how it is. God's our Father. He loves us so much. He sent His Son for us. We have our mediator between Him, which is our Lord Jesus. And I'm just thankful for it. I hope you guys are too. But anyways, I'm all set with going over this study. I hope everyone kind of learned the differences between prophetic scriptures, mystery scriptures. Prophecy pertains to the earth and the people on the earth, God's people, Israel. Mystery pertains to the body of Christ, heavenly places. So think prophecy, earth, mystery, heaven. Anyways, that's it.
All right. Thanks, Brendan. That was a better than average job for your first lesson ever. So, had some funny stuff in there, too. anyway, I won't. Next Sunday, Eli is going to teach. And then the Sunday after that, I still have open. I did want to make a quick announcement for the benefit of you guys here as well as those in the live stream audience. If you're not on Facebook, you might not be aware, but From This Generation Volume 2 on Preservation is now officially in print. I have copies here at the church if anyone wants to pick one of these up. And this is 388 pages, and this is all the studies that we did in the From This Generation Forever class on preservation. So this is lesson 29 through 56 as I continue to try to put this stuff into print. I want to read this quick statement. I would like to thank Sylvia and Mike Erspalmer for their assistance every week in proofreading the notes. Also to Amy Stewart for proofreading the manuscript. Many thanks are also in order to the members of the Adult Sunday School class at Grace Life Bible Church. Without your interest and support, the class would not have been possible. So the next is available. I got copies here today at church if you're interested in picking one of those up. If you're online, you can go to Amazon and search From This Generation Forever Volume 2. Or you can go to Dispensational Publishing House. It is not yet on the church's bookstore page, Grace Life Press. That's still being worked out. So anyway, if you're interested, please pick one of those up. And